and welcome to another episode of Geekly Recap. We are your hosts, Hava and Meryl. You may remember us from other episodes of Geekly Recap, where we've talked about the biggest, the best, and your favorite TV shows. And guess what? We are here to continue that with not one, but two Loki episodes in one for you.
Yes, that's right. That's episode 2 and 3, Hava, for you guys. You know what that means? We're halfway through this series and more than halfway through the year. Oh my God.
On top of that, Meryl is also now a whole year older as well.
Why, God, why?
Which explains our delay. 'Tis birthday season after all.
We've not forgotten you though. How could we? As always, get in contact with us. We've missed you as much as you've missed us. It's a lot, right? We want to know your reactions and thoughts to this current series. Anything we've missed, give us a shout, comment or tag us on any of our socials. You can find us at Geekly Recap Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
And remember, you can sign up to our weekly newsletter at geeklyrecap.weebly.com for exclusive bonus content that doesn't make the final cut.
Now hit that subscribe button and let's begin.
We are back, guys.
We are back. Did you miss us?
Yes.
I wasn't asking you.
I know. I was trying to be the listeners because we can't hear them.
That's true. The voice of the listeners.
What's more important is you are now a whole year older.
That's not important.
No, but how was your birthday? I hope you had a nice one.
It was rubbish. I was joking.
Wow. She spent it with me and that's how she replied.
Oh God, it was the worst. She made me literally sick, guys. Literally sick.
You kept it down.
Yeah, I kept it inside so it finally digested.
I took her to Hawksmoor, okay? It's not my fault her stomach is now sensitive that she's entered a new decade.
I know, maybe that's what it was.
I'm like, it was good steak. Yeah, can I just say, Hawksmoor, other steak places are available, but it is the best steak I've ever had, and it wasn't your food.
It definitely wasn't the steak that was the problem. I think it was just an abundance of all this rich food that I haven't touched in like a year or more. And it was like my stomach just went, what the hell is this?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I don't even know why I'm saying it on here. I could have just said it to you. But I was thinking about it and it could have even been...
I love that you've been thinking about it.
I have. I really have. I was, well, because anxiety can kind of do it as well. And I guess you haven't even been to a restaurant and it could have just been subconsciously that could have been part of it as well.
I think it's just the whole thing.
Yeah. She was overwhelmed. But I do hope you had a nice time.
No, it was a lovely time, especially once that feeling left.
Which it did that day, thank God.
Thank God, seriously. It could have gone the complete opposite and it would have been the worst. But yeah, no, it was good. It was a lovely, I mean, it was like a birthday sort of week, I suppose. You know,
yeah.
So the day itself was nice. It was chilled. Had some nice surprises, including some pastries from Harbour. I think she's trying to stop the weight loss journey from happening.
I don't know what you mean. I have not been feeding my work the whole year while I've been losing weight. Just
that's
so they
exactly
gain weight.
What she's been... They're listening right now and they are outraged.
Please, no one at work listens. Hi, work guys.
But yeah, it was a lovely day. And then obviously day and night that I spent with you. That sounds really dodgy. But anyway, it was really lovely.
Had a cool hotel.
Yes, we stayed in a really cool hotel, which had its own little staircase. Felt like at one point I did call Harbour Romeo.
Yeah, we recreated like that balcony. Whole balcony scene. How could you not?
It's right there. It's a shame we didn't have something heavy and difficult to maneuver to take up the stairs. We could have done the whole pivot thing.
Pivot. Oh my God.
Missed okay. Opportunity.
Well, they sent me a discount code to rebook, so, you know.
Okay, this time ask reception instead of Prosecco, ask them for a couch.
Yeah, call down to reception.
But yeah, and then we had a nice, like, sort of treasure hunty sort of thing on the Saturday. We were just, like,
mere
minutes or seconds away from getting the last clue, so...
More importantly, we were worried that the weather wasn't going to hold out, being the British people that we are, but it held out.
Yeah. I mean, it rained lightly for like a bit when we were eating outside, but it wasn't enough to like ruin the day and have us try and find shelter or anything. Let's talk about Loki.
Because I'm still as confused as ever. This one's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we're going to go through episode 2 and 3.
You finally got it right.
I know, I've been saying 4 and 5 to Meryl all week. I don't know why.
Every single time. I paid attention. You never even corrected yourself once.
No. I mean, it may even pop out at some point. I'll call it episode 4 and 5. But I don't think I'm any closer into, well, maybe a teeny bit closer into understanding some parts, but it still opened another wormhole of blah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think any questions are answered, just more questions have been asked.
In episode 2, I was a bit like, oh, well, maybe this, this, and this about Sylvie. And I feel like maybe parts of it were answered in 3 or more implied in 3.
Okay. Well, anyway, should we start on 2?
It is called The Variant, and it is directed by Kate Herron, who we did say she directs the whole series.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme with all the Marvel shows at the moment. They seem to have the same director all the way through.
I think I prefer that.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's such a short season, so, I mean, they don't really have time to be getting guest directors in, I suppose.
Yeah. And their whole vision goes out through the series, which makes sense.
Yeah. And we don't even know if these are being filmed exactly in the order that we are watching them in. So, well, we know that the head writer for the entire series is Michael Waldron.
This is brand new information.
We mentioned that in our first Loki episode, but every episode does seem to have other writers as well. This one was written by Elisa Karasik, and I looked on IMDb. It looks like it's her first writing credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want a job.
I feel like
maybe this isn't the way to ask for one. I want a job.
I feel like that's the way it's going for the new Marvel shows.
Yeah, I feel like we're living in the wrong area. Should we move to LA? Let's do it.
I wish it was that easy.
I know.
They're not letting us in the country at the moment.
Well, once they are. Yeah. But I'll give you the little synopsis thing. Mobius puts Loki to work, but not everyone at TVA is thrilled about the God of Mischief's presence.
I'm just going to give a pre-warning. It has been quite a few days since I watched episode 2. It's been a week.
I rewatched it yesterday.
Oh, okay. So it's more fresh in your brain.
Slightly fresher. Hey, I only watched the, I was about to say 5th episode.
It's catching.
The 3rd episode yesterday and once. So I'm not going to be as fresh on that one. But anyway, let's go into how this episode begins.
So this episode starts off in Oshkosh.
I love that name. I think it's so good,
isn't it? Wisconsin in 1985. Love that we've gone back to the 80s. Although originally I was like, this isn't the 80s. Yeah. No, it is. It's just a Renaissance fair.
Yeah. But they look fun too. I'd go.
I would totally go. And we see Minutemen appear through a door. It feels so weird calling them Minutemen.
And they're looking for, well, they've got their, which we find out in episode 3 is called the temp pad. But
yes.
Back now, we just called it the thing in their hands. I didn't have a name for
the
it.
The gadget.
The gadget in their hands. But now it's a temp pad. Now we know. And they're looking for, obviously, the variant. The Loki variant.
Yeah, they're tracking Nexus Energy.
So they head towards a tent and they basically find themselves in a trap. But the coolest trap ever.
Cue music.
Where have all the good men? I'm not going to do it.
And where are all the gods?
Good use of words, though. Gods, right?
I know. And this is my karaoke song. So I was singing so hard.
I know. She's like killing everyone. We're like, woo!
I mean, total sidebar, but whenever I get tonsillitis, I sound like Bonnie Tyler, so I just continue to sing all her songs.
I was kind of disappointed that she didn't dance while she killed them.
I would have totally been. I would have swung my cape, everything.
Oh, yeah. You would have even actually forgotten to kill people. You would have just been given a concert. Been like, oh, I should probably get on with it. But, yeah, we've jumped ahead.
That was so cool.
That was cool. But, so, yeah, whoever this variant is, which we know later, she does like a little sort of tap on the forehead of Hunter C20, and she's played by Sasha Lane, who's been in a few things like Utopia and Hellboy. And yeah, so she's basically taken over her mind or whatever she's done, and she's making her kill for her. She's basically her at that moment, isn't
yeah.
she? But she's also there. So,
and again, really cool.
It was very similar to like Loki with his staff in Avengers, you know, when he could touch them and change their mind. Thing.
See, this is where everyone's like, oh, well, it's Lady Loki. Is it? But it also reminded me a lot of Wanda. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Both of those kind of things were in there. Although those were both controlled by the Mind Stone. I don't think hers is the same.
No,
kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think her one's actually implying that it's done by a stone, but very similar powers and chaos magic.
Yeah. So she kills pretty much all the other Minutemen, doesn't she? And then the green basically goes through her eyes and she passes out, which is, I think, when Lady Loki at this point, you know what? I started calling her Clokey.
Clokey.
And then she takes C20.
Which she's never done before. I do have a fun fact here. The Renaissance Fair that takes place on April 12th, 1985, it is where Mark Gruenwald was born. So it was a nod to him.
I'm surprised you said the Renaissance Fair. Why don't you just say Oshkosh?
All right, Oshkosh.
Yes, and if you don't remember, what did Harva say about Mark Gruenwald in the last episode? Were you listening?
That
don't answer for them. Let them answer. Let them have a moment.
I'm listening.
That is correct.
10 points for you.
He was born there, but he was also the inspiration for Mobius, right?
Yes. 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 In the comics, there were many Mobiuses in the TVA, and they were all basically his clone.
Mm-hmm. So we're back at the TVA. Loki is having a lesson by Miss Minutes.
Again, shout out to Tara Strong. I love her accent.
Like we said before, she's done quite a lot of voices, yeah. Hasn't she? Very iconic voices as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he's bored. He's looking for like a jet ski magazine. And then he bullies Miss Minutes into basically ending the lesson early, I guess. He's trying to whack her. How mean is that? I'd be there trying to pinch her cheeks, not whack her.
Does she have cheeks?
She will when I... Wait, I don't know what I was going to say.
But yeah, I found his magazine interesting as well, because it goes to show, we kind of said in episode one, that the whole TVA is almost in the 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s era. And the magazine, again, it's very old school.
Mm. Everything there seems to be like it's like they visited Earth once a few times every decade and went, oh, this is what it's like. Let's go and make a world around it.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
So Mobius turns up because obviously that thing's happened, so he's gone to get him. He gives him his uniform, which Loki loves.
Yes. I mean, it's a well-fitted jacket.
It is. He does look smart in it. However, it does say variant in huge orange letters on the back.
Which is, again, like very common for prisoners, basically.
Yeah, exactly. They all have a little giggle about it because he keeps calling the one they're after the lesser Loki, and they're kind of going, well, you're basically the same thing.
No, he's the superior.
No, he's not. That's what they're trying to tell him.
He really is blowing his own trumpet. And you know what? I'm here for it.
You should allow other people to tell you how great you are, not you. No one believes someone who keeps saying, I'm amazing.
You know what? I started to believe him.
Apparently it works on Harvard, but it's not working on me. So they're explaining the case and they talk about all the variant Lokis, which I was cracking up at, by the way.
I know. It's insane how many there were or are.
We do know there's a frost giant version of him as well.
Yeah.
And Viking Loki, which apparently was in a Mighty Thor Volume 3 issue. So I don't know if we'll ever see that character again, but we've seen it here. So we know it exists in the MCU. And then there's a whole bit that blew my mind and I still don't quite understand it, where he explained the difference between two of his powers.
I wrote it and I still don't understand it.
But I'm assuming they said it because it's obviously going to become something that we should keep an eye out for, right?
Yeah. And it sounds very smart.
But I didn't understand it.
I'm still reading it now.
Hold on, let me look at my note. What did it say?
Illusion projection involves depicting a detailed image from outside oneself, which is perceptible in the outside world.
Okay.
Duplication casting entails recreating an exact facsimile of one's own body in its present circumstance, which acts as a true holographic mirror of its molecular structure. I still don't understand what I just read.
So, okay. From my understanding, which is not going to make any sense because I'm literally just making things up as I say it, right? Is that the first one is giving off the impression that there is something there that isn't really there. Whereas the other one is completely altering every part of himself in order to be a whole other person. So I don't even know if that means, like, would it work with fingerprint? Would it work with others? I don't know.
Oh, like the eye scan or whatever. But
yeah, like
it says a true holographic mirror. But then it is changing its molecular structure. Yeah, so that to me says it's real as opposed to the other one.
Or at least as far as it is to everybody else. I don't know.
And he has both.
He has both. But my brain just went, huh?
Yeah, well, and they were just like, shh. How dare they?
Probably would have done that too. Shut up, Loki.
But Mobius states here that they'll break into two teams and they want Loki to try and find this variant. And Mobius kind of implies to him that there may be a chance that he meets the timekeepers. I mean, you know Loki. He's going to use this to his advantage.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Try to, anyway.
Anything he does is for something to gain for himself.
Yeah.
Selfless. So, yeah, they go to the Renaissance Fair.
He asks, why don't they enter before the variant? And I think it's Mobius that tells him Nexus events destabilize the time flow. So the branch is still growing. You have to enter in real time. Because I thought that as well. I was like, why don't they just beat the variant to it?
I guess they would be making another branch, right? If they went in earlier and stopped that from happening, a whole other thing would happen. So it's kind of like they've got to, that thing has already branched off, so they've just got to go onto that branch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking maybe they could just jump in right before the other variant is there and stop it from
branching. I guess it's too dangerous to attempt. They probably have tried it in the past and it's failed drastically. Who knows?
Yeah.
And he gives them a whole thing. He loves their attention. I think he was seriously just doing it so he was holding all of their attention more than anything else. He got to stand there, give them some speech about how if they leave the tent, they're all going to die.
Yeah.
And yeah, all of this like ominous stuff, basically.
It's believable.
It is believable. I mean, he almost has them.
He almost had me.
Yeah, because he puts that whole bargaining chip at the end, doesn't he? He shouldn't have. What were you thinking? Come on, man.
Such a rookie mistake.
I know, Loki. I thought you were smart. To be honest, he has lost every battle he's ever tried to win before. So he says, apparently an Asgardian proverb or whatever, where he says, where there are wolf's ears, wolf's teeth are near. It's apparently actually a Viking saying about being aware of your surroundings as well. So it's not something made up for Marvel.
Apparently it is an homage to the real Loki of Norse mythology.
So we're in Ravonna's office now. And people keep speculating that the middle timekeeper statue looks like Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
I keep seeing that. So I don't know whether that's definitely a thing, but that's what we start with. We're on the close-up of that statue.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird with the statues. And as we're going on, I'm not too keen on Ravonna.
No, I don't really get her. I think she's definitely covering something up.
Yeah.
There's definitely something going on with her.
I'm asking a lot of questions about these timekeepers and are they even real? Like, I'm genuinely asking this question,
know,
going, are they real?
It's an interesting thing because it makes you wonder whether they were at some point, but maybe they're not even around anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the situation is. But I was reading, because obviously we know, I think I mentioned with Ravonna, with Kang in episode one, I mentioned it. And they're saying because everyone's speculating about whether one of that time, the timekeeper in the middle is Kang, because Ravonna was romantically linked, I wonder if that's something there. And also there's a moment which I didn't really pay that much attention to, but when I read the research, I was like, hold on, yeah, that did happen. There's a moment where Mobius tells her that he hasn't met them yet. And then he says, that one looks like he, and she cuts him off. So we never hear him finish his sentence. She goes on to talk about something else. So what is that about? So is there something to this? Are we going to be introduced to Kang this way? Is Kang the timekeeper? Like, is he the person in, I don't know if they're in an office or whatever, but is that where he is? And the other two have been killed?
I wonder whether he would be introduced in this.
I don't know, but there's so many things linking to him now that at some point you're thinking he's going to, I mean, we know he's in one of the films, right? Is it Ant-Man?
He's in one of them.
He's in one of them. I can't
remember
now. We did mention it in the last episode. We need to go back and listen to ourselves. But yeah, I know that he's gonna definitely, he's been cast, but
I think
can't
it
remember
was
which film. And maybe Ant-Man. So he's definitely coming in at some point. But yeah,
it's whether he's introduced in that or in something prior to
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's got also trophies around. I didn't really read
Mobius's
too much about
them. Trophies.
Yeah. Or at least some other analysts, which she keeps saying. But are there any other analysts? I don't even know. I noticed that the coaster is a hexagon. Don't know if that's important, but now I just notice hexagons everywhere. So even in my life.
There's a lot of connections with this show to WandaVision so far.
Yeah. She gives him a pen to sign, and it says Franklin D. Roosevelt High School on it, which he doesn't recognize. And he again makes a comment about, oh, is it from one of your other analysts? So I don't know what that's about, but
There's no spoilers here, right? I definitely asked these questions in episode 2, and from what we find out in 3 about all the agents at the TVA, or what we assume all the agents at the TVA, it makes me ask the question, is Mobius being lied to, or does he not remember his past? Obviously, he said that he was created like they all were. Maybe he was and the others aren't, or, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we don't know, obviously, because in the comics, they are, this is the, what happens.
They are clones.
Yeah, obviously, we don't know if they're going a different way with this, but it does sound like some of them may not actually be made for that place.
Ravonna definitely is not made.
In the comics, she's also not made from the TVA. She joins it. But in the comics, it did say that some of them were recruited.
They will take elements from the comics.
Yeah.
Just like Carrie Scoggins said for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, she was like, we might give you names from people that are in the comics, which is a little kind of ode to them, but it's a whole new character.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what this will end up doing.
Yeah, probably.
For most, not all, but most. Yeah.
There's definitely something going on, but what aren't you telling us, you stupid woman? I don't like her either.
He leaves and we see Loki, and he does say to him, like, why are you sticking up for me? And Mobius says to him, because I see a scared little, like, A, I see a scared little boy. And he goes, B, I just want to catch this guy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you whatever you need to hear.
Yeah, and I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's both. It was interesting to see Mobius in this episode, I thought, because in the first one, he's this really good guy who's like giving him the time, and in this one he was a bit more like, I could actually give a crap about you, we just need to catch this guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was a lot more impatient with him now.
Yes,
we've done your therapy, now you help us.
So he puts him in charge of going through files and everything in the library.
Yes.
I did see a giant 372 in the library. Thor issue 372 featured an early Marvel Comics appearance of the TVA.
Yeah, I heard it was the second appearance of theirs.
Yeah, and apparently it was the origin story of Justice Peace, who some people believe Hunter B-15 is based on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with the fact that she was also recruited. Justice Peace, I think, is a male in the comics, but recruited from Earth. So it does happen, guys.
It does.
But yeah, so they're in the archives and Loki decides that this is the moment he might be able to find out a bit about the TVA and or time.
Who created time?
Yes, but you know what? Classified. And that woman was definitely Roz from Monsters, Inc.
Yes. To the spectacles.
I know. The whole face, everything. Perfect.
Always watching you, Wazowski. Always. I loved her.
It's a shame that woman wasn't, I don't know, is she alive?
I was going to say I don't think she is, but then I don't want to say that and she is.
I'll look it up later. So yeah, he's not allowed to look at anything but the case files. I did notice, you know, when he's approaching her and she's not paying attention to him?
Yeah.
She's typing some stuff out. One of the things she types is, Tracy Wilson touched the Tesseract and opened a wormhole to Goddab Omega.
Who's Tracy Wilson?
I don't know. I did look it up. There is no character called that, but there was a storyboard artist from the first 4 film. So I don't know if that's that.
Good catch.
Yeah, because I was like, let me pause and see if there's anything interesting there. And then Goddab Omega is at this planet where Gamora was like dominating the planet with the Graces. I don't even know what the Graces are, but yeah. So yeah, I don't know why that was. I'm assuming it's just there for fun, but I was like, what? Hold on, that happened? No one else is panicking about this.
Well, I mean, we'll get into the hurricane in this episode, but there's a lot of like, they're saying this is a category 10 and, or, you know, they're all given numbers. And you're like, if that's a 10, what the hell was all the other crap?
I know, because which we're going to get to now is the Asgard, destruction of Asgard. That was 7.
That was exactly.
But is 10 not as dangerous as 7? Like, which order does it go in?
That's it. So people are questioning whether 1 means it's the highest rather than.
Yeah. Yeah, Loki finds a file about the destruction of Asgard and he actually gets a little bit emotional.
There's a tear. I mean, we've seen glimpses.
Yeah, of course. Into his emotions. I mean, that was his home, whether he was angry with it or not. I mean, that was where he grew up. And there were people, he had definitely good memories there, and he's not going to pretend that he didn't.
I found it interesting that it was just over 9,000 people.
Quite small.
Yeah.
Asgard was beautiful.
It really was. Anyway.
Well, you just mirrored him because he figures something out.
Yes.
Rushes to Mobius and he mentions...
He's eating a salad.
Yes, which he won't let him enjoy. But he gives him the piece of paper with the destruction of Asgard. And he's like, Mobius is like, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, it's sad. But anyway.
Yes. A bit like you. Getting on with it.
So he basically figures out with this great little demonstration using salad, salt, pepper, and a boku juice.
He basically ruins his lunch.
Oh my god, that was funny.
It was hilarious. It's just the way he's shaking the salt and pepper shakers
constantly. He knew what he was doing. So rude. But yeah, basically he explains that if you do something before something like an apocalypse, it won't register because the apocalypse is going to happen, so nothing you do matters.
Yeah,
kind of. That's what he says. And Mobius is like, so they want to test it out.
Again, very smart. You know, he does say he's a superior one. I'm like, no one else figured it out, but
it's
did.
It's true. I don't think I would have gotten there.
No. And as soon as he said it, I was like, that actually makes sense. I understood this better than his explanation of his powers.
Yeah, I was like, can you explain your powers with salad as well?
Yeah, I'm listening. Oh, before we get to Pompeii, because we know they go to Pompeii, which is amazing. I love that whole scene.
That whole scene's so stupid.
There is a whole thing where Loki just goes, what could go wrong? And it killed me. And Mobius is like, well, you could stab me in my back.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I would never stab anyone in the back.
It's like, I've literally read that you've stabbed people in the back like 50 times.
So yes, well, I'd never do it again.
Yeah, because it's gotten old.
I'm loving their chemistry. Like, obviously, we said this with Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, but they've kind of, I'm not going to say they've always had that buddy romance because they haven't, obviously, in the films.
Yeah.
But they've been together in the films, whereas I've never seen Tom and Owen together.
Exactly.
And they're clicking like they've had five films together.
Exactly. I definitely want to see more. Definitely. Don't get rid of Mobius anytime
soon. Or can someone hire them into a film together so we can see a comedy between those two?
I would watch it, definitely. I think in a way, that was one of the things that I probably missed about in episode 3, like that we didn't see Mobius at all. I think that was lacking for me.
But I did think it was an absolute smashing episode.
Really? I didn't particularly enjoy it.
Oh, see, I really enjoyed it. Mm. I did miss Mobius, but I liked the fact that it was all set between the two Lokis, let's say.
I wasn't really that intrigued by both of them. So I was a bit like, I want more. What is this?
Well, we'll get to it and I'll respectfully disagree.
Well, I'll respectfully disagree. Well, maybe I won't respectfully. Maybe I'll disrespectfully disagree.
Just because we're on that topic, I would say it was one of those episodes that I felt like our problem was with episode 5 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but it was perfectly placed because it was in the middle of the freaking show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I didn't hate, like, I felt like, oh, well, this is fitting. I don't want it on the penultimate episode.
Yeah, I just felt like, well, anyway, we'll get to it when we're there.
But they go to Pompeii.
Yes, they do.
That's the apocalypse that I'm guessing Mobius has chosen. I don't know why.
Maybe it was Loki's idea. He seemed very excited to be there.
I mean, I mentioned in episode 1 that there was moments of Loki that reminded me of Joker. And I got that here as well. Just his mannerisms and his actions.
He was basically dancing around in joy at people running away screaming from
everyone's
fear of
about
death.
To die. Here's free food. You know, go dance.
You know what I did love, though? He goes up there and he gives them this whole speech, right? I love the fact that when he says he's from the future, even the people in the past are like, oh my God, one of them.
Yes, yes. The moment Mobius said to him, do something small like bird noises.
Cuckoo, cuckoo!
I just think of Charlie Day in Horrible Bosses every time. Just high in the back of the car. Caw-caw!
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
Well, anyway, they get out. Oh, they realise as well that they have made absolutely no variance energy. So what Loki said was true. Whatever you do in an apocalypse won't change anything.
So yeah, they take a break while looking through their files of all the apocalypse is going on. And Loki actually just turns to Mobius and goes, well, why does he have a jet ski magazine? And he asks him, like, whether he's ever been on one. And he just says no, because, like, a TVA... He says a TVA agent arriving on a sacred timeline on a jet ski would create, like, a branch for sure. And it's always that sad moment.
Would it really? I mean, as long as he just takes a quick little thing... What's going to happen?
Because it's not meant to happen.
Well, take a reset charge, Nick, with you, honestly.
But I felt sad for him in this moment because I felt like maybe he was longing for something almost human.
Yeah, and for all we know, you know, based on what's going on with episode 3, maybe he had a jet ski in the 90s. You know, that's a memory and he doesn't realize that it's a memory.
I feel like, again, I was getting WandaVision flashbacks. It's almost like he's trapped in his own mind. But he doesn't know it, and it's like this memory he can't access.
Do you think that maybe those, like, those trophies in her office are stuff that she confiscates from him to stop him from remembering something?
Just him, or from anyone that's
Kind of
under a mind
control? Are there any
control?
Other analysts? I haven't seen anybody else yet.
He's the only good one. But no, it totally made me think.
Yeah.
You'd start thinking now back to the other episodes, and you're just like, is this connected? But then, yeah, he also calls the timekeepers, I say he, Loki also calls the timekeepers three magic lizards.
Yeah. Well, that this bit was, I thought, was very interesting because they basically have a religious conversation. It could just be two faiths talking to each other, and it's exactly what one would say to the other, right? One person's like, oh, my faith or whatever, my beliefs are real, but what you're saying is rubbish. And it's like, but no, they're just as outlandish as each other. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
but I thought it was so interesting because it's definitely, it was exactly a faith talk that you would have with somebody else.
And then Loki says to him, there's no such thing as free will. I mean, this is what Mobius had told him in episode one.
Yeah, but he's like, he says that that's like a simplification of what it is, right?
Yeah. But then he says, well, what happens when the timekeepers write the end of the story? And Mobius goes, well, there'll be no more Nexus events. There'll be peace and only order. I don't feel like the world can function like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're seeing it as the world. I feel like that's what people think of, like, Judgment Day. Do you
know
what I mean?
It's the end of time.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, people aren't living anymore. Everyone's just in peace.
So are the timekeepers just, I mean, is everyone living in peace or are the timekeepers just trying to end the world?
I don't know. I don't even know what the hell they're bloody doing. Are they doing anything? Maybe they've been turned to stone. Maybe those statues of them going, help, I don't know.
Yeah, they're trapped in stone and it's just, I mean, don't even know.
What if the timekeepers are being held hostage and they're not even there? Or they've been killed years ago in the future? I'm so confused.
Yeah. But the one thing I really like here is Loki tells Mobius that he was wrong to call him a scared little boy. And he says, I know something children don't. No one bad is ever truly bad and no one good is ever truly good.
Considering what Loki's like and what a lot of people are like when you're having these kind of conversations, it was actually very mature of them to just agree to disagree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone should learn from them. We're telling you to learn from Loki. Honestly, this is where we're at. Yeah, so well, I think when they're talking about him being the little boy, right? That's when Mobius clocks to little boy in... wherever the hell they were
church.
In France. Yeah. And I was trying to remember the name of the place. That's it. And he remembers the gum or the candy called Kablooey. And then he's like, well, the variant gave that. So what time was that from?
Yes.
So he looks up the thing, the candy, and it's between, I don't know, a couple of years in US around 2048 or whatever in 2051 or something like that.
Regionally on Earth from 2047 to 2051.
You could have just said that before you had me to try and estimate what the years were.
You were close.
Thank you. So that's when they start to look at apocalypses that took place then. But another thing that they said about the apocalypses is they had to be naturally occurring ones.
Didn't you find that there was a lot?
There was a lot, but I love the extinction of the swallow, which apparently caused a lot of problems ecologically.
I mean, it's very smart what they're doing considering there's so many issues going on in the world and obviously climate change is real.
Yeah.
They've definitely tackled that considering when you're looking at the years that we're in.
Exactly. We don't have long till these, man.
Things go well, we'll be alive. I do not want to see that.
So, Loki finds it immediately. A hurricane in 2050 in Haven Hills, Alabama, which isn't a real place, apparently, but I didn't find any significance to anything from Marvel either, so it's just the name. And so, yeah, anyway, they have to go there. So there's a supermarket, which made me think of Superstore because I just watched it.
Yeah. I'm glad you finished it.
Yeah, I got the last season of it as well. So
woohoo!
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
But yeah, so they've come outside this supermarket called Rock's Cart. And Rock's Cart apparently is a thing. Well, not Rock's Cart, but Rock's...
Exxon?
What'd you say? Roxxon?
Was it Exxon? Or...
No, Rock. It's got to be Rocks. Roxxon.
Roxxon.
Yeah. Apparently it's been mentioned before in the Iron Man movies, the company. It's an energy company. So it looks like it's going to be featuring...
This is why I thought Exxon, because Exxon is a real energy company.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they turn up. It's night. It's a horrible hurricane. Apparently some of the people are hiding in the warehouse section. But the store seems to still be open.
Why? Is it a 24-hour store?
Yeah, but before they do go, Mobius wants to team up again with Loki, but B-15's like, hell no.
He gives Loki his double daggers, and she literally takes it away from him immediately.
Yeah, absolutely
and puts
not, she says, and puts them in a locker. Which I don't blame her, because, I mean, it's Loki. No.
But Mobius, again, put a lot of trust in him there.
He did. Well, he thinks he's kind of earned it now, but I'm like, calm down. You're not friends, right? So they've turned up and she's teamed up with him. So Loki and her are together. And I think Mobius and the others go into the warehouse to see if they can find the variant there. Meanwhile, someone is watching them through the CCTV.
And she said every time there's an attack, the variant steals a reset charge. How many does she have at this point?
I don't know, but a lot, right?
Yes.
I mean, we saw them, because we see them light up later, and there's like at least, what, 20? I don't even know.
Yeah. I knew they were on her tail, but I wasn't expecting that much.
I know. That's crazy. She's doing her thing where she puts her, I don't know, I'm going to say herself, in other people.
She possesses them.
Yeah.
In episode 3, they call it enchantment.
Enchantment, yeah. She takes over B-15, she takes over an employee, she takes over a customer. But yeah, the whole scene was quite annoying because you are like, why don't you just face him?
Which is what he said. He was like, well, I would never do this.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't do this to me. I did love me, I presume.
Yeah. He says to her, you're scared to meet me face to face. He basically coaxes her to come out. And she hates being called Loki.
Yeah, definitely does not like that.
She's like, you call me Randy.
Yeah, Randy's better than Loki. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You say Randy and all I think is Randy from South Park.
Oh, really? Because when I hear Randy, I just think of in Buffy the Vampire Slayer where Spike thought his name was Randy because that's what it said on the coat. Was it Randy Giles? Why not call me Horny Giles or Desperate for a Shag Giles?
We find out at this point that the variant actually has no interest in ruling the TVA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Loki's trying to get her on his side.
He's basically saying, this is my plan, one in. And she's like, I have no interest in those little things. Well, she doesn't say it like that, but anyway. But we do find C-20.
Yes.
Kind of having a little crisis. She's like, it's real, it's real, it's real. Like,
I genuinely thought she was kind of trapped in her own head. Split moment, and then it was like no, like she's been in my head and I've given the timekeepers away.
Yeah, I thought that was really clever, but we'll get to that. But
very well done.
Yeah, so they find her and she's basically having a nervous breakdown. But what does she mean by it's real?
That her life before the TVA is real.
Oh, do you think that's what she's talking about then?
Oh, yeah. I think that's the conclusion I've come to having now seen episode 3.
I guess, yeah. I wonder if they were like having dreams about it. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. Again, going back to WandaVision, where you were trapped in your own head and you couldn't get it out.
Is it Agatha behind this again? So good, wouldn't it? I wouldn't complain.
No. Working together with the Enchantress.
No, but she's there, like, instead of the timekeepers turning around at the desk.
Oh, my God, can you imagine?
Anyway, I think he finally... When does she turn up? She turns up at the very end, right? Well, we know that the guy, the laughing guy, sets up, because the timer had been set up for the reset charges, and he activates them, I think?
I think it's right after that the camera goes to the cloak, and she uncovers herself as a woman.
Yeah. And she says, this isn't about you.
Well, what the hell is it about? But did I not say it was a woman? Yes, I was right.
Well, yeah, the timer goes off, and the reset charges all activate. And they all open those little time door things and they all just start vanishing.
Yeah.
And I guess they go off there.
The TVA's on high alert because we just see the branches.
Branches.
God knows how many branches.
I mean, I wrote some down. Well, I wrote every single one down that was coming up, but someone else already did some research, so I thought, well, fine, I won't do it then. But just to see if any of those had any interest. So as far as the ones that are not real places or whatever, we had Vormir, which is where the Soul Stone was hidden in Avengers. But it goes there in 2301, so God knows what it's going to do there.
We could go back there.
Yeah, 2004 in Asgard. And this could be a reference to the Young Thor series. We've got Ego, Kurt Russell's Living yes. Planet, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But that's 1382, so whatever happens there. Titan. This is the moon orbiting Saturn where Thanos comes from.
Yeah.
It's also the setting of Marvel's first graphic novel, The Death of Captain Marvel. But 1982, that was published in 1982, which is the year it goes to.
I don't think we're going to see Thanos, but I don't think we've seen the end of Thanos.
I hope not, because he's awesome. But yeah, I don't know. But also 1947 New York is that Agent Carter era. And Hala, this is the home planet of the Kree.
That was the one. I was trying to think, what was the Kree planet? Because there's things obviously leading up to the Kree, so.
Yeah. But this is 0051, so God knows. And yeah, Xandar, 1991. Fantastic Four story. And some other places, but I couldn't find anything from those. But there were a lot of places and a lot of different times. No Turkey, unfortunately. I was looking for that.
All of this and episode 3, when they're on... Lamentists one.
Yeah.
I was just thinking Star Wars planets as well.
Imagine if they landed on one of them. They're all
oh my God, they're on Tatooine.
Yeah. What was the one that exploded? It wasn't Tatooine though. Ugh. One Princess Leia was from, I can't remember. Sorry, Star Wars fans. What was it called? They watched it explode.
I was going to say Hodor. It's not Hodor.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I want to see if I could remember it. I feel like it began with an A.
I don't think it was an A.
Well, I feel like it was an A, but maybe I'm wrong.
Alderaan.
See, I told you an A.
That's why I said Hodor. It was close. How the hell do you even forget? It's when you're placed on the spot. You're like, oh my God.
So yeah, while all this is happening, Ravonna's going crazy. Her eyes are so wide. And she grabs her little pruning thing. Apparently her helmet says A23, which was her first appearance in Avengers, was issue 23. That's basically it, right? So she's opens a portal for herself, kind of looks at Loki for a long time, then goes through it. Mobius is running around looking for Loki. They spot him, but not in time to stop him following Lady Loki.
There was no way he was going to let her get away.
Exactly.
And, you know, not that this is anything giant to note, but funny how the mall turned red. Remember when everything went bad? As usual, things like that go red. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
And it was the same here.
And Lady Loki, or we'll find her name to be Sylvie, or she calls herself Sylvie in episode 3, but it's played by Sophia DiMartino, who has been in Silent Witness yesterday. And she was in Friday Night Dinner. And I was like, who? She was Emma, who I looked up again because I did not know Harva, but she was like, one of the boys' girlfriends, but she had brown hair with a fringe. She looks completely different. Completely different.
I think I know which one you're talking about now, and I would not have guessed. She came round for dinner.
I think actually this one may have been the one that walked into the room filled with Playboy stuff. Do you remember when the brother changes the bedroom so it's all like women with their big boobs? I think it's that girl.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, what? She looks so different. But yeah, that's how episode 2 ended.
Which just asks a whole other lot of questions.
Uh-huh.
And this is where we go to episode 3. We literally just said they're on Lamentis. And that's what the episode's called. It's, again, directed by Kate Herron. And it's written by...
Bisha K. Ali. No relation. She's written for Weddings and a Funeral, the TV show. And she's the creator of the upcoming Ms. Marvel.
So she's one to watch out for in the Marvel Universe, which is exciting.
I'll say the synopsis, which isn't much, but Loki finds out the variant's plans, but he has his own that will forever alter both of their destinies.
Lamentis is actually introduced in Annihilation Conquest Prologue, and it exists on the outer rim of the Kree Empire.
Yeah, also, they're on Lamentis 1, so that's the moon of Lamentis.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
I wonder if Lamentis means anything. I didn't actually look that up.
No. This episode starts off with Lady Loki, or what we find out to be Sylvie, and C20 having cocktails. And I literally wrote WTF.
I was like, which planet is this?
Yes, they looked like they were having a whale of a time.
I know, I wanted to be there. That cocktail looked nice.
It did.
But the song that plays as well is called Demons by Hayley Kiyoko, which I'd never heard before, but it was quite a nice song. Quite an interesting way of starting the episode. Very different tone.
Very different. And they start talking about brain freeze.
Yeah, whatever it was, she had brain freeze, yeah.
And Lady Loki says something about brain freezes when your memories are being frozen in place. I can't exactly remember her explanation.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if it was actually meant to make any sense, because I was like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, but then Hunter C20 is just like, wait, what? No, it's not. And she goes, yeah. And it just kind of changes tone. And she goes, how many people are guarding the timekeepers? And again, I was like, huh?
When she tells her to try it, and she tries it, it's like time has passed as well.
Yes.
Like it's suddenly nighttime. It's like, how long was that brain freeze?
And then they snap back to the restaurant.
Yes. And she basically keeps trying to get the answer out of her, but she figures out that there's something going on.
And this is different to her touching you, and as she calls it, you know, enchantment. It's not this is another form of mind control.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, she kind of brings it up later because she's kind of tapping into a memory. That's how she gets through to people, and hers was like ages ago. That's what she says, right?
She didn't say hundreds of years ago, did she?
I feel like she said a really long time ago, but I don't know, because how long ago was that? That didn't look that old.
No, but then I feel like she said it was hundreds of years ago, and if that's the case, yeah, how old is she? But is that, she like frozen in age as well?
Yeah, but that bar didn't look like it was from 100 years ago, unless she's from the future.
The future.
So that would be, oh my God, my brain is going to explode.
Because she could be from the future. For the fact that she said she had to go back a really long time ago.
Yeah, because she definitely said a really long time. Like it wasn't like 10 years or something. It was like at least 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when you find out that, hold on, that was an Earth flashback, not a TVA whatever flashback. Well, yeah, that's crazy.
We then see Lady Loki, or Sylvie. What do you want me to call her?
Cloaky.
Cloaky. We see her controlling Hunter C20 back at the mall, you know, where they all are. And she sees Loki on CCTV. Mm-hmm. We get the credits. And then the variant is now in the TVA.
Yeah, so that door went through to the TVA then.
Yes.
And she's going to the location, which is something with golden doors, right?
The golden elevated doors, which is what the Hunter C20 gave away when she said she gave away where the timekeepers are.
Yeah.
No one would have known that was in the TVA, I don't think. I was pretty surprised to, if they are there, I was pretty surprised that they're in that building.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Where does that elevator go? Does it actually go? What, I don't know.
I don't know. The presidential suite.
We do know that Lady Loki, whatever her bloody name is like a crazy good at martial arts, because she kicks the hell out of everybody's asses.
However, she also didn't know that her powers don't work in the TVA, and she tried.
Yeah, she got further with it than Loki did, though.
And then she kicks some ass.
Yeah, but it turns out she doesn't need her powers in there. She's very strong. Only Loki was kind of a match for her because he could estimate what her next move would be.
And he's got the daggers that Mobius had given him. And then we see Ravonna. She catches them. And I still don't like the cut of her jib.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what she was thinking of doing there. It's not like she looked at it and went, oh, it's okay, because Loki's trying to stop her. She kind of looked like, whichever one I grab with my pruning stick will die. That's basically the look she had. Like, they're both the same. They might as well be the same.
But I feel like she should have known that she's going to need one of them to do something right. It's probably going to be our Loki.
Well, it depends, because if she has got stuff to hide, then she's probably thinking Loki is quite dangerous because he's very, like, curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, before she can do that, Loki opens the gateway, right?
Yeah, using the tempad.
And they fall through.
But where have they fallen through?
I don't know. It looked like a little nothing. I don't know. It looked like a little dump, didn't it? Like a little area. We didn't know where they are at that moment.
No.
But and they're still fighting. And you're like, oh, stop fighting now. I think Loki was kind of in the same thing as
and
me.
She's
like, stop.
She
it.
Really did not like being called Loki.
No, she didn't.
And he uses a time twist on her. So he goes behind her and she calls him, you know, you're a magician.
I didn't think that was a time twister. That was just his own powers. He's done that before.
Oh, I thought I saw the gadget on the floor. Oh, maybe it was his powers.
Yeah, I think it was his own
powers. I thought I saw the gadget on the floor.
Because there was like the green light around him. It's not like he went
and
moved.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Oh, maybe it was a temp pad I saw on the floor. I wouldn't say she's mocking his powers, but she's like, oh, you know. I feel like she's kind of doing what Loki was doing to her, but not to her face, by saying she's a lesser Loki.
I mean, they're all superior Lokis in their own eyes, aren't they?
So we then see, I wrote asteroids. It wasn't asteroids, though. It was meteors.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all like bits of the planet, right? Falling, crashing onto the moon. Lovely.
I was like, what the hell is this?
What a place to end up in.
They're in Lamentis 1 in 2077. But she tries to get into Loki's head here. They've kind of got their heads bowed into each other and she's touching his neck. And I was like, okay, I know what she's trying to do. And there's that brief moment of pause and he goes, what are you trying to do? He's like, it won't work. And she goes, what, because you're a magician? He goes, no, my brain is too strong. And it was just that line again.
Yeah.
I'm superior.
I'm too good. I'm too good for your tricks.
And she really wants that temp pad.
Yeah, and they need to charge it because it has no power left in it. So they can't even get out of that planet or moon right now. So they're on their way looking for some kind of charge, I guess.
Yeah, which she knows how to do. He doesn't. And mm-hmm. She knows that Loki needs her. And she says as soon as she gets it working, she's going to go back to the TVA and finish what she started because he had basically ruined a plan that was years in the making.
Yeah, I don't really know what her deal is because she's not very upfront with anything.
She's very private in this episode. She's not giving anything away.
So the fact that she even said her name, if that is even her name.
Yeah, but it really, really feels like she's got a personal vendetta.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like she's just like, oh, I don't believe what they're doing is right. It sounds like there's something she's after, and it might not even just be to kill them or whatever her plan was. It might be something completely different. I don't know.
But the thing is, didn't it even make you think? I mean, I don't think she's a good person, but there was a part of me thinking that what she's trying to do is for the greater good.
I don't know.
Because we don't know whether the timekeepers are good people anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I guess that maybe she's better than they are, but I don't really know her reasons. I don't know.
Because we don't know her life. When her and Loki talk about it, either she remembers and she doesn't say, or she doesn't remember much of her childhood or mm-hmm. her mum when it comes to that topic. And it's whether the timekeepers have something to do with her life and whether she's been a variant all her life.
Maybe something happened to her which they said was the sacred timeline and she wouldn't accept it. Maybe that's where it started from. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. This is where she officially introduces herself as Sylvie to Loki.
Yeah, there's a bit where they're walking through, like, because obviously there's, like, abandoned towns on the moon. I don't know. But there was, like, a shot, and it's not the same place, but it really reminded me of a location in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Do you remember where they were, like, gambling and Sylvester Stallone was there? That's mm-hmm. all I remember about the scene. But it really looked like it was that place, but I don't believe it is.
No.
But it looked the same
yeah,
kind
I don't
of
think
vibe.
It was, but I can see the similarities.
Yeah. They do stumble upon a trailer. What the hell? They've got trailers there.
To be honest, at this point, I didn't think anyone would be living there.
Yeah, but there was an old lady who didn't seem to want to leave. Well, I say old. She wasn't that old. I feel sorry. Sorry, woman.
Loki knew it was happening. So at this point, I do think his brain was better than hers.
Oh, what? To be nicer? That would work.
Yeah, because he immediately says to her, you know, you can't use brute force
or
whatever
he says.
She doesn't
listen because she's a fool.
And she just kicks it open and gets blasted. That was hilarious.
But he didn't do much better. He pretends to be her husband.
He was the smarter version.
Yeah. She's just ready to die with the moon.
That was it, yeah. I'm guessing she'd lost her husband.
Yeah, I'm assuming. But I looked up the actress, Susan Gallagher. Apparently she's been Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
For quite a few episodes, but I don't remember who
I don't
she
remember.
Is.
Yeah, I don't remember her.
Maybe I need to rewatch them. But yeah, that's what she's been in. Like 11 episodes, so how the hell do I not remember who she is? But yeah.
She's someone's mum?
I don't know.
She's not like the evil one's mum or something, is she?
I don't even remember the evil one's mum. Who's the evil one?
I can't even remember his name. The one, the Mohawk.
Oh, he's not evil. He's just an idiot.
Well, you know, he's evil for quite a while.
Not evil, just a dickhead. What was his name?
I really can't remember. Mohawk? So basically, Sylvie says to her, you know, where is everyone? And she goes, the Ark. It's like, well, what's that?
No, it's Ark.
Yeah, I know. She's like, no, there's an evacuation vessel, which is a train, but you need a ticket to get onto it. Which makes me think that they just give out like limited tickets to all these people living on the moon. And so basically so many of them are just going to die because you find out they've been lining up overnight and God knows for how long.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how you would get a ticket.
It's really... kind of similar to what you'd expect would happen now in real life anyway.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's a crisis like that, and obviously the rich are going to get the advantage and the poor are just going to be lining up hoping that they get a ticket. And there's a lot of space on that train, I bet.
There was a lot of space where they were seated.
Exactly. That was like a bar. They had a bar, like a place where you can celebrate the fact that what your planet's about to explode.
Or that you're going to be saved.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
you
they
don't
assume.
Even know.
Loki disguises himself as a guard to get into this train with the help of Sylvie's powers because they're like, well, you can't get on without a ticket. And she manages to get into his brain and allow him to get on.
A bit like, you know, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Yes, which is why it was giving me a lot of Star Wars vibes.
Yeah. But also, I read up that the two soldiers at the entrance are called Corporal Hicks and Private Hudson, which were the character names of Michael Biehn and Bill Paxton in Aliens.
Cool little 80s reference.
Yeah.
You know, this bar. It also reminded me of the cantina.
I kind of wish there were aliens going... Everyone looked too human. Like, where's the aliens?
They're disguised as human. They're all
aliens.
I don't
like it. I want some aliens.
But they have, yeah, it was like a jazz bar. It was, it looks amazing. I wanted to be in it. I'm not going to lie. They have a heart-to-heart chat. It is, even though it's mainly one-sided, but I think they're both still learning stuff about each other and realizing that they are still more alike.
Yeah, when the mothers come up, that's kind of what does it, right?
Yeah. And she knew she was adopted, but she does say that she doesn't remember her mother. Whereas yeah. Loki explains, you know, it was his mum that taught him how to do tricks and he does the cool fireworks in his hand. Which, again, just in the setting of where they are and the fireworks, it just looks sweet.
It was a nice scene. It was a bit of a slow scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was just things missing from this episode for me. But I think this scene, in a way, felt a little bit uneven compared to the rest of it. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't warm to the character of her. Like, I didn't think she was very good.
I haven't warmed to her character, but I still enjoyed this scene / this episode. I did actually really enjoy this episode.
I think part of my problem was just that I didn't, not just to the character, I didn't warm to the actress. I didn't think she was very good. I felt like I was watching an episode of Doctor Who at times, but maybe just because there was a lot of English people.
She reminded me, oh God, what's the Doctor's name? It's not Jodie Whittaker, is it? No.
It might be. It's either Jodie or Josie.
Are you Googling it?
Yes, I'll Google. Yes, Jodie Whittaker.
Oh, I was right.
Yeah, there was an element of her, yeah.
She did, yeah. She did remind me of her. But this is interesting because we actually get confirmation here. You mentioned the gender fluid.
No, sex fluid.
On his paperwork, which, in my opinion, I take that to be that he can be
both
male or female.
Yeah.
But we actually get confirmation here of his bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And hers. Mm-hmm. Loki in general
but to be
is
fair,
bisexual.
It's all fluid. Very fluid.
Well, the director has confirmed Loki is bisexual.
Okay.
This goes again with the whole lighting and how people were assuming this was the case for Bucky, which we've got no confirmation. So guys, please don't force it. Like if the character is gay, bisexual, straight, whatever, you know, they are. And it's great in this case that we've got a character that's now confirmed to be bisexual, and they do use the blue and the pink lighting, which is meant to show bisexuality. But I was gonna say, yeah, it kind of mirrors what we saw in Madripoor, and there was a lot of stuff going on because people were even saying that it was oh my God, what's his name, what's the other character's name,
which character,
the German one?
German one, What are you talking about now? Which show?
In The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Zemo.
Oh.
There was even moments where that people were saying that Zemo was bisexual. I'm not saying he's not, but he was obviously married to a woman and, you know, he had children.
People seem to be very obsessed with giving people a sexual identity when it doesn't matter. I mean, it's nice to be represented, but it's not important to know right now. Unless it comes up, it's not important.
I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a problem because it's not a problem. And I certainly don't want it to sound that way. And, you know, it could be, you know, I'm straight. It's kind of like when you talk about race as well. I can't really speak for that person.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, and this goes for anyone, they do try and force some things in shows or films, and the worst thing you can do is force something.
Yeah.
There are gay characters, there are bisexual characters. You bring them to light, don't turn a straight character into one. Do you know what I mean? But like, rather than turning another character into what you want it to be to represent someone, those characters already exist.
Exactly. And even in the comics, there's plenty of like bisexual and gay characters.
Yeah. So make them big.
My brother was even reading one, I can't remember what it was about. It was sort of like this, you know, Superman and all of them, but it was different characters. And he was saying the two main, I can't remember what they are now, so sorry, I can't remember the name of them. But the two main characters are like Superman and Batman, sort of. I think one might have been called Knight something, and I can't remember. Anyway, and he said they were in a relationship with each other. That was a big thing in the comic. And he loved that. I can't remember what the bloody comic was called. It's going to bother me now.
It's not like they couldn't do that. That would be so amazing to see.
Especially in this day and age, like definitely would be fine. I need to remember what that was.
In the comics, Loki's bisexuality does come up. So yeah, it's not like they've just plonked this in. But then we see Loki singing folk music.
Yes. So he's been drinking. But he calls himself full. Okay. But he's merry. He's very merry. He's completely gotten rid of his disguise and he's wearing his variant jacket again.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of wanted to party with him at this moment.
Well, he was very happy. Very, very happy. And he was singing in Asgardian.
My dad turned to me and went, is it Scottish?
But is Asgardian like based on an actual existing language or is it just a made up?
I didn't Google that because I was too busy writing my notes. I said to him, no, dad, it's fake language. It's Asgardian.
Let me see what someone's saying here, just in case it does say.
This is where you tell me that it is actually in Gaelic or something.
No. It says here. I don't know if this is right. But anyway, the Asgardian in Loki's drinking song is Norwegian.
Oh, so it wasn't a fake language. I am sorry. I've also been to Norway. I should have known.
The song is called, I don't know how the letters are pronounced. So I'm just going to read it how it's written. Jeg saler min ganger. I don't know if that's how it's said. And it was written for Loki. So it's not an existing song.
I really enjoyed that song, and I hope it's on the soundtrack.
It will be available on the show's soundtrack.
Yes! I love that.
Do you want to know what the translation to the other words are? Just one of the verses. It's in storm-blackened mountains I wander alone. It doesn't sound so happy, but he was happy when he was singing it. Across glaciers I travel forth. In the apple orchard the fair maiden stands and sings, when will you come home? And then he says in English, when she sings, come home.
And he kind of made it seem like he was referring to Loki, but I'm wondering whether there's a deeper, like Lady Loki.
Sylvie,
I'm wondering whether there's another hidden meaning to that. He does smash a glass here, though.
Yes, which is, it turns out it's just the thing you do in Asgard. It's not just Thor being an idiot.
I was like, oh, the brothers are the same. Oh, no, it's just what they do.
I love that, though. I love that. Because, I mean, some people might have completely forgotten that, but when he did that, oh, wow!
Yeah.
They're more alike than they think.
I know. I miss them two together.
Me too.
She says to him, people have been looking at us. And he's like, when did you become so perceptive? I'm paraphrasing because he said something to that effect.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you're drunk. And we see the guards. And they've been found. And this is where she uses her one remaining horn to stab the guard, which is pretty cool.
So yeah, big fight starts. And well, I mean, if we want to cut it short, Loki basically gets thrown out the window, right?
Which is hilarious. Just the way he lands as well.
He lands the same way every time.
Yes. Every single time. And she's like, oh God, well, I'm going to have to go after him because he's got the tempad.
Exactly. Not because she cares about him or anything.
Oh no, they're both of them are thinking about each other. As in their own selves in this moment.
So yeah, they both both are outside of the train now. The train's going. And the tempad's completely screwed now.
Busted. Mm-hmm. And he goes like, oh, I landed heavy. Doesn't seem that bothered by it. And obviously she's raging.
But you know what? I'm really surprised that they didn't somehow put a GPS tracker on Loki. That the TVA.
Do you think that's more the collar, basically?
Or something, though. Put something on him if you're going to go somewhere like that. So they can find where he is.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd think that through.
I don't know whether it works like that. I'm sure they've got a reason.
I'd assume they'd have something, though. But oh well. Oh well. We don't know.
I mean, Apple knows where you are all the time.
So how does the TVA not?
There is a long silence. There was a long pause in this episode. Where it's just... because she screams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She sits in the ditch. And he's like, I'm waiting for him to talk. Because he just goes, okay, and he sits next to her. And I just felt like, you know when there's a moment where the scene's going on a bit too long? And there was no dialogue. It just went on slightly too long. And then he goes, did it make you feel better? There was a reason why they put it in for that
long.
I'm
sure there was.
I think that's the moment that he realises, like I said, there's more to this than her just wanting to defeat the TVA. Because he says to her, oh, you know, this is your glorious purpose and you can't beat them, and that's what sends her over the edge. But he doesn't know her reasoning. Like I said, she could be doing it for the greater good. We don't know.
Yeah, we honestly have no idea. We don't even know what time she's from. We don't know anything about her. She's really not revealed anything about herself except the fact she doesn't really remember her mum and she knew she was adopted. I think that's all we know.
She's probably the strongest variant, the strongest variant they've come across so far of Loki.
Depends. I don't know. I really want to meet the other Lokis.
Because her power is incredibly strong. They plan on hijacking the Ark.
But it wasn't meant to leave. But they're like, well, what if we helped it leave? They don't really care about leaving branch problems anymore. Like, whatever, we need to get out.
Well, because everyone's going to die.
Yeah. Well, that's on the sacred timeline, right?
Yes. But then Loki also says we weren't ever meant to be on it.
Yeah.
And we were already on it. So... what difference is it going to make at this point? Well, they were on the train.
Yeah, but that was not the Ark. The Ark is a whole other thing. The train was just going to take them to the Ark.
Take them to the Ark, yeah. But they weren't meant to be on the train anyway.
But you'd think it's because an apocalypse is happening, right? So whatever they do doesn't matter. But if they leave on the Ark, then obviously that would cause.
Well, she's already created how many?
Well, yeah, I don't even know what's happening in those other places. Like... the hands are full right now.
I think we'll definitely go to that in the next episode.
I really want to know what was going on. Like, what changed in those places? Why were they branching? I think that was one of the most frustrating parts of this episode for me. I was like, I just want to know what's going on.
Is it
you.
Like so many variants of Loki are appearing in those timelines?
I don't know what's happening. It's so weird. Ugh.
Maybe it's just someone farted when they weren't meant to. Something as stupid as that.
How silly would that be, right?
But so as they plan on hijacking the Ark, Loki is asking Sylvie about her enchantment again.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually kind of gives in.
Yeah, she kind of says a little bit. She says how it's a lot easier. Well, for her possession one anyway, she says it's easier on weaker minds.
Yeah, and she also says she taught herself.
Yes.
Which then made me think, is that what created the Nexus event? Is that how she become... well, if she did, is that how she became a variant?
It's all speculation right now.
Yeah. And also, how many other powers does she have?
Does she have more or is that it? And obviously she's good at fighting. We know that. She's very strong.
Sure. They've all got more than one, right?
I don't know.
This is where she explains Hunter says, C20.
Yeah, because she says she has to create a fantasy from your memory, right? For the one that she... did it to last. She said, because at first when she mentioned from the Minuteman or whatever, I thought she was talking about B-15, but then I remembered that she didn't actually do that to her.
She didn't capture her,
yeah. So yeah, she said she had to go back, well, like we said earlier, like, I think it was about at least 100. I feel like it, I don't remember it being a small number.
I feel like she said hundreds of years ago.
Yeah. I think so. Hundreds.
You know what? I'm going to do what I did when we were doing like WandaVision.
No, I've just looked it up. It said hundreds.
Oh, so I was right. Hundreds of years ago.
Yes, hundreds. It's not even 100 years ago. It's hundreds.
So what year is she from?
Yeah, because obviously the TVA exists in no time. So what does that mean, though?
It's answered a question that we probably didn't really have, because I guess we just assumed, okay, they're created there. They're not human. But then it's answered something. So it's gone, okay, maybe they're being brainwashed and they're human. But based on that one bit where she said it was hundreds of years ago, it's throwing the spanner in again.
Yeah, because I don't know what that means.
Is she from the future that's gone back? Because like you said, where they were, that wasn't hundreds of years ago, even if they were in 2040 or 2050 or 2070.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't look like it was very futuristic or anything where they were.
It just looked like now.
But what time does Sylvie think she's talking about, though? When she says hundreds of years ago, what year does she think she's in? Because, I mean, right now, in the year that they're in, it's 2077. So it's not hundreds of years ago.
No, exactly.
So is she talking about with TVA? Is TVA not in null time? Is that just what they're being told? I don't know.
TVA, that is in null time.
Yeah, but that's what they say. But is it?
So this is where, obviously, Loki's like, what?
Yeah, because he's like, they don't know this. Yeah, he's like, they think that they were built to do that job. But she's sort of like, of course they're all from Earth. Doesn't she kind of have like a look like...
She's like, they're all variants.
Yeah.
They're basically like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a TVA filled of Mobiuses, it's filled of Lokis.
Maybe she used to work there.
Yes, that's her vengeance. She never got her redundancy pay.
Exactly.
So she's now just, going back.
She's a disgruntled ex-employee.
What this leads to is them actually getting to where they need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
To get on the arc.
Yeah, this scene was quite cool, actually.
Thank you. We got a one take camera shot.
I mean, all CGI, obviously, but still,
but
very cleverly done.
It's still amazing. It's still effective. And if anything, because it was CGI, it felt very interactive. And I think it's because, like you said, it was unlike Daredevil. Incredible, incredible scenes.
Yeah.
But unlike Daredevil, obviously, because this was CGI, it kind of gave me that feeling.
It was one of those horrible moments because they realized that there were people trying to get onto the arc that were not being allowed on, right?
They're scavengers,
basically.
It
felt very much like Titanic, everyone trying to get on those rowboats and they're like, no. Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, as they knew it would happen.
Like you said, the rich and the poor.
Yeah, but the arc also collapses. There's no way they were going to get off that anyway.
No.
They probably didn't think about
it. They missed it.
But they really struggled to get on it. And plus, there were these stupid guards that kept coming and trying to fight them. And I'm like, leave them alone. Everyone's just dying. Why are you trying to hit them for? Like,
including you.
Yeah.
How did they think they were going to get out?
I know. Like, what good was going to happen from beating up these people just trying to get on the Ark? Calm down.
But then you just have that look of... Not even sadness. It's just that look of, what do we do? This is the end. Like,
and I'm like, it's not the end. Well, that's how it ended, basically. So you're left kind of on a cliffhanger. But I'm obviously they're gonna get away. They've got to get away somehow. I don't know how.
Or someone's gonna come in and get them out.
Exactly. A time door must open, and they grab them. I don't know.
But who?
But does she get away? I don't know what happens. Who knows? I mean, there's only, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll probably be coming out like tomorrow. So not long to wait.
Did you catch the closing song though?
Yeah, Dark Moon is what it's called. It's a country hit.
Mortals have dreams of love's perfect schemes, but they don't realise that love sometimes will bring a dark moon.
Hmm.
And also, I don't know if you notice in the credits, Loki and Sylvie's files at the TVA include photos of them.
Yeah,
here.
I saw that, yeah.
So they're still being watched.
Yeah, I'm assuming maybe that is from the next episode.
Yeah.
They probably both get captured, but
I'm assuming it's the timekeepers that know where they are and not anyone else.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Mobius definitely doesn't know where they are.
No, unless he knows now, like... literally this moment before they'll probably arrive next scene.
Yeah.
But
I also did get Sylvie's surname. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's basically Luffy daughter or something, right? It's basically like Luffy, his one's Luffy son. Yeah,
yeah.
And she's Luffy daughter. Basically, it's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I don't know if it's daughter, but since his is Luffy's son and hers is daughter sort of thing, I'm assuming that means daughter.
An Asgardian version of daughter. Yeah, it could be.
So I'm curious if they're saved at the beginning of the next one, which they should be, or saved or arrested.
I think we're going to start in the TVA, surely.
I don't know. We'll see, I guess. But I'm assuming if they're both arrested, captured, whatever you want to call it, hopefully we'll learn a bit more about her then.
I hope so. You would think so by episode 4.
Yeah, hopefully.
We should do. Like how you made that prediction in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and how you wanted episode 5 to begin.
Yes.
I want episode 4 to begin right as Loki and Sylvie have gone through the door in the mall. We see what Mobius is doing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it will be that way.
I'd be disappointed, Marvel, if you don't give me that.
Well, this episode will just be, oh my God, this is what I don't want to happen.
You don't want it to be just them
Yes, like now it's an episode about what they did in that
Because
meantime.
Then the story's not moving.
I'm like, come on.
No, I just want it to start there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah,
I
hopefully.
Want the story to move. I don't need 2 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, unless something amazing's going to happen and we're going to learn a lot of good stuff, I don't want that episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know this is all about time, but I don't want time to stand still.
Exactly.
But what does this all mean?
I don't know. Do you know? Not you, Harper. The listeners, do you know? Do you have a good theory?
Yeah, let us know. Like we said, please let us know. Get in contact. And I'm sure we've missed stuff. Have you caught stuff that we haven't seen?
Exactly. I'm sure we've missed a lot.
There's plenty. But if anything, maybe send us your time theories, because it will be good to see your perspective and whether you can actually explain yourself. Not the way Loki explained his powers, though.
Yeah. And if you can explain Loki's powers, or if you think that we did a good job of sort of translating it, please let us know.
That's it for our double episode. We'll try not to lump them in one episode again, though.
I think we have a bit of a break from birthdays and busy weekends for a bit, so we'll hopefully be back to normal next week.
That's what she thinks. 3 more episodes of Loki. I honestly don't know where it's headed right now, but we know the TVA are not what they seem.
Or are they?
No, they're not.
Or are they?
What did you think of the episodes? Let us know your theories at the usual places. You can find us at Geekly Recap Pod.
Or head to our website, geeklyrecap.weebly.com. We'll also be putting a vote soon to what our next movie, TV show, topic, because why the hell not, will be. So follow us or subscribe to our emails. You can sign up on our website to give us your vote.
Do it. Give us your vote. Do it.
Do it. Have a lovely week, guys. Enjoy episode 4 of Loki. Contact us regarding your theories, etc. And we'll see you next week.
So long.